that could have been reading or listening to this Corinthian letter. I believe that he was writing to preachers in this, but I also believe there's some excellent things in there for God's people in general. I believe that, and you may disagree, but I believe that those that have been saved by the grace of God, while not everybody is a preacher, and while certainly women cannot preach, and we don't believe that, I do believe that you and I can minister to people. I believe that. I believe that, as you have heard me say many times, that as we have testimonies, that's a ministry to some people. You never know who your testimony might touch. That can minister to someone in a way that I might not be able to. But we all have a ministry that God has given us to do and to take care of. As a preacher, God has given me a ministry of preaching. He's also given me a ministry as far as pastoring, and He's given that to me to take care of. And He expects me to do it to the best of my ability. And He expects those that have been saved by the grace of God, He expects us to take what we've been given and expects us to take it and use it in a way that is becoming of God. I believe that very much so. And I believe that Paul was talking to preachers, but I also believe that there could have been some that were not preachers that could have heard this. And I very much believe that those that are here tonight, I only know of one preacher, and that's my granddad that's here. But I do know this, that we all have a testimony to tell. I believe everybody here tonight has a salvation experience with God. And if you'll hold with us just for a second, we'll try to get to where we want to go. The fourth chapter of the book of 2 Corinthians, the first verse. It says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world," and he's talking about the devil, "hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. But God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." And this is the part I want to get to. This is our lesson text for tonight. "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." Now you think about that tonight and think about what Paul was telling them there in Corinth. He says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." Now, I want to talk about that treasure for just a moment. That treasure, I believe what he's talking about, I believe it could be twofold. I believe the treasure could be talking about salvation, and most likely that's what he's talking about. But I also believe he's talking about the minister of God and how they have been called out of this world to be preachers. But I very much believe that when God saves people, He puts a treasure in an earthen vessel. Now, what do you mean? We know that our bodies were fashioned in sin. We know that He told Adam, He said, "From dust thou art, and from dust thou shalt return." So we know that this body is from the earth. We know that it's something that is not made with human hands. We know that it is of this world, though. And we know that someday it shall return back from whence it came. And you think about tonight, maybe this is an addendum to last week's Sunday night's message, but you think about what God does as saved people. He takes something miraculous, something wonderful, and He puts it in something like you and I. He takes the gospel gift, He takes the greatest gift that there ever has been, and He placed it in something like me. He gave it to someone who was unworthy, who was bound or should be bound for a devil's hell, and He saved it. He gave it something that this world cannot understand. He gave me that. And He gave it in an earthen vessel, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Now, if we were talking to a bunch of preachers tonight, we know very much so that the preaching cannot be about us. It must be about Christ and what He did for us, what He did at Calvary, and the way that He lived His life, and the things that He taught to His disciples, and the way that we should live our lives as examples for God. I believe that. But it's hard sometimes as this body that we live in to take the greatest thing there is and show it to the whole world. I was washing my car yesterday, and I was looking for a rag to clean my wheels with. Now, the car that I have is still fairly new, so I don't really want anything to happen to it. I still think of it as a treasure. It's something that I love. And I found an old rag, and it was crusty, and it was old, and it looked like it had been used a million different times. And I thought, well, there's no way that I can take that and apply it to my wheels and make them look good. And as I looked at that, I thought about what God has done for me. Now, I never did take that rag and put it on the wheels. But you think very much about tonight how God uses people like us to have His gospel go forth into all the world. He's using people like you and I to minister to people all over the world. You may say, preacher, I haven't left Middle Tennessee or South Central Kentucky, and maybe I'm not here or maybe I'm not there. I've never been to those places. But as I was preparing for this week, there's a man up in Canada. His name is, I believe it's Weldon Deering. And I don't mind sharing that with you because he wanted me to let the church know that he listens to our website, and he's from Canada. And I thought, someone who will never be here, most likely will never step foot in this church, is listening to what this church has going out. This church, I'm going to say, is a church that I believe has a missionary heart. We have missionary on our name, but I'm so glad tonight that our church is one that supports missions. It needs to support missions. It needs to support the gospel going everywhere, because I believe very much so, and I may have said this last week, God could paint the gospel in the sky with pink polka dots if He thought it would if it would win people to the cross. But He chooses people like you and I, people like myself, to go and preach the gospel. Somebody unworthy, He takes a treasure, puts it in an earthen vessel, and He says, "You go into all the world teaching and preaching that ye must be born again." People today think it's modern to have a website. It's not a bit more modern than anything. I'm going to say tonight that we need to use mediums to get to this world. And if it takes a website, that's what we'll do. If it takes standing outside the church doors to preach to a lost and dying world, that's what we must do. He's given us this treasure. And I want to share with the whole wide world. I want to let them know that I've been redeemed by the grace of God. I'm glad that I've got this treasure in an earthen vessel. There was a preacher, and I'm going to get to the scriptures that he probably used. I've never listened to the sermon, read the sermon. I really don't know who it's from tonight. I didn't think to look. But there's a sermon titled, or a book titled, Apples of Gold and Pitchers of Silver. You know, God uses something so little. Oh, and He makes it a great thing. He takes low little preachers like me and different ones to preach the gospel. And oh, I'm so thankful tonight for those saints of God who would stand up and testify about what God has done for them. People that didn't have anything, that knew they didn't have anything, but they'd been saved by the grace of God, and they wanted everybody else to have it. Amen. They wanted the world to know this treasure that they had. They wanted to share with the whole wide world. Oh, it's not something that we need to hide. It's not something that we need to leave here in Mount Calvary. It needs to go everywhere. I talk about the Great Commission a lot. It says, "Go ye therefore into all nations." Went to a missions conference a few weeks ago. Brothers and sisters, our gospel's going into a lot of different nations. It's reaching a lot of people. I'm going to say this tonight. The United States of America that has the gospel and the Missionary Baptist Church and other churches of like faith and order, we are doing a very poor job compared to those that are in Africa, in Jamaica, in other places. They're hungry for the Word of God. And we have it on every street corner, and our people seem to not care a thing in the world about the gospel that they have. Oh, it breaks my heart to know that there are people tonight Oh, they've been saved and they don't care a thing in the world about sharing it. You talk about the love that I talked about this morning. Oh, I want everybody to have what I've got. I believe very much so tonight. If every person that lived in this nation was saved by the grace of God, we wouldn't have to lock our doors at night. I believe that. I believe He changes people. Folks, I believe God does that. And if there's no change, there's no salvation. There's not. I believe if we lived in a nation where everybody served God like they thought they did, we wouldn't have to lock our doors on a Sunday evening or Wednesday evening because of the way that people are today. We have the gospel that should not be hid. And if it's hid, it's hid to those that are lost. We're not hiding it from ourselves, but we're hiding it from the world. I have a problem tonight. I have a problem with those, and I really hope that maybe, and I know this is not for this church, I hope somebody listens to this that I may never see, but I have a problem with those that say that having Sunday school is a bad thing. I have a problem with those that say a vacation Bible school is a bad thing. I have a problem with those that say anything that shares the good news of God is a bad thing. I have a problem with that. I do. Anybody that would say sharing the gospel is a bad thing, shame on them. They don't have what I have. They don't. If that makes us modern, I guess we are. And thank God for it. Because people are getting saved because of somebody telling them about the cross. If that's what it takes, we need to be willing to do that. If it takes whatever, if it takes painting this church pink, if it takes doing whatever I have to do to share the gospel, I'll do it. There's a song that Brother Junior used to sing, "Jesus, use me. And oh Lord, don't refuse me. Let me do Thy perfect will." You know, I was thinking when I first came down here to Nashville, I thought, Lord, have mercy. I'm going to a place that's going to eat me alive. But I'm so glad tonight that I'm in a place where the gospel needs to be preached everywhere. It needs to go out all over Davidson County. And it needs to go out all over Tennessee and Kentucky and all over the states. Brothers and sisters, we have a job to do. Oh, that love that we've got. We need to share that love. Because we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of power may be of God and not of us. Oh, I'm so thankful that we preach not ourselves but Christ Jesus the Lord and ourselves His servants. Oh, you know, it's a wonderful thing to be able to serve the Lord. It is. I don't know if we realize it or not, but it is a wonderful thing to be able to serve a risen Savior. There's people tonight that are having to hide to serve the Lord. Having to hide from governments and this and that and the other. And we don't have to. We have a beautiful church building in a very, very, very public place on Nolensville Road to share the gospel in. Brothers and sisters, we are blessed. If you don't think so, you just turn on the news for a little bit. You know what? Those people need the gospel. We've got people in our own nation. I've said this before about the church at Murfreesboro. Above their entranceway. This is one thing I like about it. It says you are now entering the mission field. We're on a mission field, folks. We're on a mission field every day that we live. It may be just down at the Publix or Walmart or Ross or wherever we might be doing just minuscule things that we do every day, but somebody needs to hear this gospel. Maybe somebody just needs to hear you say, "I'm praying for you." Well, that can change people like that. It feels good for somebody to say, "I'm praying for you." And you know, they may not be saved more than anything. And their prayers will probably bounce up and come right back down. But you know, it feels good when you pray for people or let people know that you're praying for them. I want this community to know around here that Mount Calvary Missionary Baptist Church is here and that we love them. That we want to see him saved. The man that came in today, it thrilled my heart to know that he was here. I hope he comes back. I'm praying that God will get a hold of him and let him know, hey, Mount Calvary's here. And we have the gospel. Do you realize tonight, not everything that slaps church on the door has the gospel? They have their version of it. They have a watered down, made up version of the gospel. But they don't have what we have, talking about God's Spirit. Talking about a convicting power that must convict sinners. That must draw them to an altar of prayer that they can see God for the salvation of their souls. They don't have that. They don't. You go down either side of this church building. Go down the road just a little ways and you'll throw a rock and hit a church. Or somebody that claims to have the gospel that does not. Turn with me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy in the second chapter. Talking a lot about vessels tonight. Those that have been saved by the grace of God, we are vessels for the Master's cause. A vessel, I remember when I was younger, we used to have a singing practice on one Wednesday night a month at the church I used to belong to. And we sang a song one night, I believe it was number 180, "There's Peace in the Midst of My Storm." And there's a part in there that says, "Jesus rides in my vessel, so I'll fear no alarm." And there was an older man that sat beside me. I didn't know what a vessel was. And I believe it was Dalton Marlin. I looked over at him and I said, "What is a vessel?" And he says, "Something that's carrying or you are being able to hold something." Think about that. Jesus rides in my vessel, so I'll fear no alarm. We've been given this treasure in our earthly vessel. This vessel tonight that I have, you know what it's holding? It's holding everything together, but it's holding this soul that I have. This is a prison to this soul. You know what this soul wants to do? Paul said it the best. He said, "For to know to do good and do it not is sin." This soul wants to do good, but this old vessel that carries it around, that drags it here, there, and yonder, oh, it doesn't want to do good. I'm going to read to you some people that didn't want to do good. There's a whole lot of people tonight that are carrying the gospel or trying to carry their version of the gospel that do not want to do good. 2 Timothy in the 11th verse, or 10th verse rather, says, "Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. And if we deny Him, He also will deny us. If we believe not, yet He abideth faithful. He cannot deny Himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the Master's use, and prepared unto every good work." Now that's a lot of reading, and I want to try to break it down if the Lord will help us tonight, and I'm going to promise, try to not keep you all too much longer. But I want to break these down tonight, and I think it's good for us to do that. Now, the study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You might think, "Ha-ha, I'm not a preacher, I don't have to worry about that." I'm convinced, and I believe this to be the truth, that every saved person needs to study their Bible. needs to study it and know what they believe as God's people. We're living in a day and time where everybody is able to have a copy of these scriptures. Now, there's people tonight that want to use other versions. They want to use other parts of it that they think is the right one. I use the King James Version, and I believe very much so that it's the right one. And I'm convinced tonight it's the one that needs to be preached from behind this pulpit. I believe it's the closest one to what God and His men penned down themselves. I believe that. But we've got a lot of people tonight that have their own versions or doing their own thing. They're trying to study after the world, and they're doing a very, very poor job of it. But I believe tonight they're taking the Scriptures, the very Scriptures that you and I have, and they're taking them and they're twisting them and they're making them into a mockery of what thus saith the Word of God. They're taking just exactly what I have before me tonight, and they're preaching all kinds of manners of salvation. My Scriptures tells me that there is one way to heaven. Doesn't say there's 4, 5, 6, or 7. It says, ye must be born again. And if you don't have that, it doesn't cut it. But people tonight say we're all striving for the same thing. No, we're not. We're all going after the same thing. If you're not teaching the true plan of salvation, you're not striving for the same thing that I am. And you'll never be as long as you teach anything else, but ye must be born again. That's why we got to study. You say, preacher, what does that matter? If you get into a discussion with someone, and guess what? Brother Taylor can't be with all of you every day at all the time. And if somebody begins to ask you, hey, what do I believe? You may say, this is what I believe. And we need to be able to back it up with Scripture. You may say, preacher, I don't carry my Bible ever with me. There are verses that you and I can know. And they can be verses that are together that are simple and easy to understand. We don't all have to go to the book of Revelations and try to all figure that out. Because guess what? I don't believe anybody ever has all that figured out. But there is something that this nation needs that us as God's people, we have figured out. And that's how you got to be saved. It doesn't take 6 or 7 different plans. It took one and Him dying on a cross to make us born again. That's what it took. So if we're going to be a workman that needs not to be shamed, we've got to study our Scriptures. I say, but preacher, I don't have to rightly divide the truth. Studying your Scriptures and then telling people about it, you need to tell them about it the right way. Told you, people can take the Scriptures and they can make you believe anything they want you to believe. I can take Scriptures out of the Bible and prove just about anything. But you need to take them in order and in chunk by chunk by chunk and make sure that what is being taught is harmonized through the whole Bible. It's all got to work together. It's all got to. The Lord didn't make anything undone. It says He's not the author of confusion, and I don't believe that He is. But Hymenaeus and Philetus, they were trying to confuse people. They were taking Scriptures to try to prove that the resurrection had already happened. And it says it was confused. Or let's read that. Let's make sure. Overthrow the faith of some. It was making some doubt. We need to study these Scriptures. We need to know what they say. I believe it's important to at least carry a Bible somewhere near you. I have about 4 in the car right now. If somebody needs to know something, all I got to do is say, give me just a second, I'm going to get a Bible. I've got one. I believe it's good to have one close by. And if you don't have one, if you got a smartphone or something like that, get you a Bible app. Get you a King James Version Bible app and be able to pull things up so that you can show people. I believe it's important. The world doesn't believe so, but I do. You may take what I have with a grain of salt, but I believe very much so. Us as God's people, we've gone too long without knowing what the Scriptures teach. I've heard this many times. Not from this church. I'm thankful that this church has a heart to study the Scriptures. You all support Bible studies and preaching. You all do that very well. But there's a lot of people tonight that say, well, my preacher said it, so it must be so. And that has gotten a lot of people in trouble down through time. We've got to know what the Scriptures say. After all, God has given us this treasure in earthen vessels to share to this whole entire world. You can take one part and leave it out and condemn a whole bunch of people to a devil's hell. It says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. My prayer is tonight that God will make me meet for His use. I don't want to be a vessel unto dishonor. I want to be a vessel unto honor that God can use. I told you the song that Brother Junior Moore used to sing, Jesus, use me. It's okay to ask God to use us. Whatever our job is, we need to do that. I'm glad tonight to know that God has something for me to do. I'm glad God has something that I can tell about. You know, I've told you this many times, and you all know people like this. I'll say, what do you mean, salvation? What do you mean, a salvation experience? I'm glad God has given me something that I can tell others about. I believe every one of us tonight that's here has a job in the Lord's work. I believe so. I believe that very much so. Our jobs are not all the same. Not everybody's going to pastor. Not everybody's going to be a deacon. Not everybody's going to lead singing. Not everybody's going to play the piano. You know, God needs people to pray. He calls everybody, and He tells everybody they need to pray. But sometimes our job as God's people is to be prayer warriors for our church and for those around us. For our children, for our grandchildren, for our spouses. God calls us out to pray. He says, you pray without ceasing. Pray about everything. Be meet for the Master's use. Be ready to pray whenever somebody asks you to. Be able to do that. If you'll read in your bulletin for today, I wrote about the testimony and experience that we have. The Scripture says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And be ready to give an account for the hope that is within us at any moment. That doesn't say, might be prepared tomorrow, might be prepared today. It says, be prepared at any time to be ready to give an account for the hope that is within us. Sometimes our job is to tell other people about what God has done for us. I remember growing up, there were good sisters in the church. And you know, the Missionary Baptist people, we do a good job of this sometimes and a bad job other times. But we give the ladies a pretty hard time sometimes. Sometimes I think you all feel left out in the work that God has given us. But you all are just as important as anybody in the church. I believe that. I believe the men have their place. And I believe very much so the women have their place as well. I believe that the Scriptures teach us that. But I remember growing up, and you all, I guarantee you when I say this, you all have somebody in mind. But you think back to years gone by, and you think about the little old ladies that would get up and they begin to tell about what God had done for them. About how good God had been. Well, guess what? They'd come to you and they'd say, honey, have you ever been saved? And would scare you. I'd see them get up and they'd start walking toward me, and I'd say, I wish that woman would go sit down. I wish she'd leave me alone, but that was her job. Sometimes that has to get people. You know, I'm not very good at going and talking to lost people. But you know, God gives people that gift to be able to go and say, honey, have you been saved? Do you know about a time and a place? Those little old ladies, you may say, preacher, you've gone a little fanatical. Those little old ladies, they had a job that they were supposed to do. They were supposed to tell about what God had done for them. And I guess maybe their attitude toward the Lord and toward lost people was what made their demeanor so great in working on lost people. I remember my great-grandmother, and I guess she's probably the best one that could get to me. I think I've told you all this, but one night after a revival service at Pleasant Hill, I was staying with her, and she came in the bedroom. I'd been praying that night, and she came in the bedroom, and she got down beside me, and she said, honey, don't you want to be saved? It's like midnight, and this lady's up talking to me about salvation. She says, honey, don't you want to be saved? And I said, yes, Nanny, I do. And she said, you want to pray? And I said, yes, Nanny, I'll pray with you. And we got down the floor. We got down in the floor beside a bed. And she began to pray with me, and I guess it was probably 2 o'clock, 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, and I didn't get saved. I just said, Nanny, I can't pray anymore. And she said, all right, well, we'll get up. And so we got up, and I'm telling you, she went back to her room, and I got back in the bed, and I guess I went off to sleep. And Nanny's probably still got up at her regular time. When I got up, she was up doing everything she normally did. But you know, they loved God. They cared about my soul. She cared about where I was going to spend eternity. Brothers and sisters, I told you this morning about love. All of our jobs is to love people. We're to love those that come in those doors. I don't care if they have the best clothes on or they have the worst clothes on. We need to love them. God may have sent them here for us to love. And I'm glad tonight that God has given me something to love them with. We all have a job. He's given us this treasure and this earthen vessel. And brothers and sisters, we need to go on and go after what God has done for us. I'm unworthy tonight. Paul said it again. He said, "For I am the least." I'm the least. I guess I imagine that meaning something like this. I'm the worst that God's got. But you know, Paul was able to be used by God and able to preach to lots of people and convince a lot of people that God was who that he said that he was. And then you know what happened when he got them convinced? They believed in God and they got saved. And I'm thankful tonight that God is still using the earthen vessel to take this treasure and send it to a lost and dying world. Why, it may not be the prettiest ship there ever has been, but if it's carrying the gospel, it's a great ship. We sing a lot of songs about the old ship of Zion. Her hull is bent and she's battered, but she's still sailing out. And she's still teaching and preaching the true plan of salvation. I've thought many times, and this is just a Taylorism, so don't stand on this as the gospel, please. It's a Taylorism. It's completely my opinion. I've thought many times how the Lord sent His bride down to this world, and He gave her a title of church. He gave her a job to do, almost like she's an earthen vessel. And guess what? She has a job to do. She's got a work to do. It's His bride, and she's come down. Oh, and someday she's going to go back, and she's going to be just arrayed in the finest linen. Oh, it's going to be beautiful. But I'm glad tonight to be a part of the Lord's church. Not worthy to be, but thank God He saved my soul. I was unworthy when He saved me, but He did nonetheless. But I want to read that 7th verse of 2 Corinthians once again, and then I'm going to close. I just want you to think about this week. Think about the message this morning about loving those around us. And then you think about, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of power may be of God and not of us. I've told you many times as I stand behind this pulpit, I don't want you to see me. I want you to see God, and I want you to see His will at work. That's my message tonight. May God bless you is our prayer while we stand and while we sing.